Welcome to the 20 Minute Runner Podcast. My name is Roland, and I am the 20 Minute Runner. It's good to have you along with me as I run and race through the Piedmont region of North Carolina while practicing the Qi running method. Thanks for sharing some of the road with me.
Tigger.
Good morning. Yeah. You want some dry food?
You do.
Here you go.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. Whatever time of day or night it is where you are, I want to say welcome. Thanks for downloading the show and for taking a listen. And it's great to have you along for this particular episode. This is episode 64, and today we're actually going to be summing up the Qi running. I think summing up in the sense of bringing it all together from a philosophical standpoint. Maybe I need to reword that, actually, from more of a... Exactly what is happening as a whole, instead of the various parts we've looked at, what is going on as a whole. And in that sense, we're going to be summing it up, and we've got some good audio that I'll share with you relative to that in just a little bit. But this is episode 64, Qi Running Basics, and this is basically summarizing it all together. I am standing here in my front yard, and we are waiting for the GPS to sync. Looks like it's already synced. I think we're good to go. Yes, I think we're good to go. Today is August 20th, 2010. It is Friday morning. It is, I didn't check the thermometer, probably 68, 70 degrees, and it is about a quarter after 6 right now. And I'll be honest with you folks, I'm a little bit sleepy, but we're going to see how this goes. But we will get started here. Again, my name is Roland. Welcome to the 20 Minute Runner Podcast. And we're going to go ahead and get started and see how things are going. Okay. Have to go through some mental checkpoints as we get into each run. Checking to make sure that we've got the Qi method down. And again, if you're new to the program, or even if you've been listening the last 4 episodes, maybe, we will not continue to talk about Qi running as much as we are now. We will get on to other things beginning with next episode, but I will continue to share points with you and insights with you as it relates to the Qi running, but not dedicating such large portions of the program to it. Okay, I am going up a hill at the moment. When you leave my house, it's a hill up to the stop sign. So we've got that first thing. Right now it's really cloudy. Sun's coming up, but is obscured because of the clouds. Okay, we're turning that stop sign. Thinking of knees bent, legs very relaxed, lengthening the neck, landing on the midfoot, keeping my feet either under me or slightly behind me, tilting the pelvis, leaning from the ankles, and bingo, that's where we are. It's very humid. As I said, it's cloudy. We've had quite a bit of rain. Had about a half an inch yesterday and last night. But no rain this morning, but the signs of it on the street are evident. Humidity is still up. We have been up, let's see, I think yesterday was with, I know one time on the radio, they said it felt like 99. So we've still been hot. Supposed to be 90 or 91 today and tomorrow. And then after that, the next 5 days, it all looks like in the 80s. Mid to upper 80s, but the 80s nonetheless. And a couple of nights is down to 66, 68. So there's definitely a promise of fall in the air. But right now we're in the dog days of summer. So it's muggy, feeling a bit warm, but much cooler than it would have been even last night. When I went to bed at about 10:15 or started getting ready for bed, checked the thermometer and it was 81 at that point. Probably 10 degrees cooler, maybe 12, excuse me, maybe 8 degrees cooler now. But we're feeling okay so far. You know how it goes, it takes a while to get warmed up. And for me, I always have a tendency to go too fast. Now, with chi running, you cannot listen to my footfalls, which I know you can hear there, and determine how fast I'm going. Shouldn't be able to, because unless it's a sprint, the cadence should be always about the same. And at this point, we're trying to keep the cadence around 85 rounds or whatever per minute. I don't know if I'm doing that right now or not, but we're working on it. This early in the morning, I'm trying to move my feet as best as I can. So, anyway. Hey, I was going to tell you, I got my glasses. Thank God for that. And I went and picked those up. I think it was Thursday. No. Wednesday, maybe. Today's Friday. Put them on and put the paper in front of me. And the girl looked at my eyes and she said they're lined up perfectly. What can you read? And man, I could read everything. Kind of like when I sat in a chair a couple weeks ago when I was telling you about that. And the eye doctor was actually checking them. The smallest print on that page, I could read with clarity. So I'm thankful for that. But I'm not going to wear them running. And I'm only going to dry them after they've been washed properly, which I talked about that a couple of shows back. So I'm not wearing those this morning. But I got my old scratched up ones. I had them on. I just took them off. Put them in my hand. But I got my new glasses. I'm going to take care of those. And I can see everything with them. So I really, really am glad of that. Because I've been struggling. It's incredible though what you can see when you have proper eyewear. But I am interested in going to Zenni, Z-E-N-N-I Optical.com. Ordering a cheaper pair just to run in. They will be made with the same prescription. So I believe I'm going to check on that. I'll let you know how that goes. But they sell glasses quite a bit cheaper than anywhere else that I've been able to find. And I know a couple of people that have used them. And they've been very, very pleased. So I'll try to include that link in the show notes as well. But ZenniOptical.com. I think that's right. But we'll have it there. And the thing about it, though, is if you order glasses from them, you've got to have all of your information, which I'm not sure that I've got. When I went to get mine, I asked the girl for the information of my prescription. I noticed on the sheet that she had where they had ordered them, it listed, for instance, the pupil point. I don't know if I'm calling that right, but it's how far your pupils are apart. So then I had to make the lenses right, where when you look down, I have limeless bifocals. So when you look down, you can see properly. It has how long it is from the bridge to the end of the glasses, that type of thing. So I asked for that, and she goes back in this little room, and I see her writing something down, and she comes back with a prescription. And where she's written what the doctor's original prescription was, and none of that information's on it. It might be because they don't want you to wear glasses from somewhere else. We're climbing the big hill just up to the top. So she brought me back that, scratched my leg, and I took it and left, but I may have to get more information. But anyway, I wanted to tell you about Zinni Optical based on a couple of friends, what they said. I mean, you can order limeless bifocals for less than $50. Now, you can get more expensive, but not near as expensive as the ones I got. Or my glasses are Flexon, so they were a little more. But they are very, very comfortable, very light. As I said, the prescription was right on the line. Okay, I'm already sweating like a pig. It's not warm, but it's warm enough, especially with the humidity. But we're doing pretty good. Trying to keep my pelvis level and keep things going. Not that I'm asking for your birthday wishes or anything like that, but my birthday is September 1st, and I forget what day it was, but it's in several days now. I took off this week. I'm off this week. And early on, Cindy and her parents gave me a little party, birthday party, and I noticed that everything was nautical. I think this might have been Friday or Saturday of last week. Everything's nautical. The stuff at the table was nautical theme. The gifts ended up being nautically themed. The whole look and feel of it all was nautically themed. Now, I didn't have a nautical birthday cake. We had some little cupcakes. But we did have tuna salad on crackers, for instance. So I didn't know what was up. I was starting to guess that maybe we had won a trip to Hawaii, or Cindy had somehow or other managed to get a hold of a trip to, you know, on a cruise. But it ended up that basically everything they gave me was nautically themed, which Cindy and I love that, having grown up near the ocean. But some things I got that, you know, we never do big birthdays, but some things I just thought I would mention quickly. She gave me a rod and reel, which when I was growing up, we used to fish a lot, but we were near the coast and did some freshwater fishing. I've pulled the seine. I don't know if you know what that is. If you don't, Google it. I've done that. I've set cat hooks using small bamboo type reeds we would cut. We used heavy black nylon cord. And you would take a piece of fish, like a spot or croaker that we caught in the ocean, cut that up and put it on the hook, and stick that hook in the side of the bank. And you would go back the next day, and on lots of those places where you had stuck a, what we call a cat hook, short for catfish hook, you would find a catfish. And we would take those home. We had a magnolia tree in the backyard. This was when I was, you know, 11, 12, 13, living with my former stepdad Hoover, the one who died, and my mom. Take the catfish back home, and if you're squeamish, you might want to fast forward a few seconds. But you take maybe a 20 penny nail, and you nail him to the, we had a spot there on a magnolia tree, put the nail through his head to hold him, and basically you cut a line of skin just below the head, clip off the fins, take pliers, and you proceed to grab the edge of that skin where you cut it, and you literally, now he's dead of course, before you ever get to any of this, but you literally pull the skin off of him. And yes, you can skin catfish. That's the way you do it. And so my mother would take and fry them up, and I've seen a platter of catfish. Oh man, it seemed like it was a foot high and a foot and a half wide. Homemade cornbread fried in on a flat black skillet. We make our own slaw and had fried catfish and slaw and cornbread. And as I said about other things on the show pertaining to food, which is, I tend to talk about a lot, man, you haven't eaten until you've had fried catfish with homemade cornbread and homemade slaw. And I used to make slaw. But yeah, we cooked the fish in a big black cooking thing with three legs on it. Had it rigged up where it would sit over a propane burner that my stepdad worked with. He was responsible to cook them. And I just want to tell you, those are good. And we used lard back then. I don't need it now. Not knowingly. But it makes a good catfish. And I still love them, although I don't get to eat them that often. But I love them baked. Or fixed with, you know, garlic butter. Or like that as well, but catfish are good. So anyway, Cindy bought me a rod and reel, and I got to figure out how to use it. Not that I don't know how to cast it. But it's probably six and a half feet long with a reel enclosed. It's not the open type where we used to use years and years ago. And I've got some hooks with it. I don't have any weights, no artificial lures, which growing up I didn't know what an artificial lure was. We always dug up earthworms or used bloodworms if we were at the beach or cut up a piece of fish. I've seen fish biting so good at the beach on the pier that you actually would use a cigarette butt. People and cast your line off the pier, and if the spots are running, you got a couple or three hooks, you can catch three at one time. Pretty amazing. So I got that, and I got to work on that. And if you have any tips on what really is somebody learning to fish in fresh water with a rod and reel, which I've done very little of that, I would appreciate you forwarding them my way. So I got that. Got some other things. One of them also, nautically themed, was an aquarium stand. I had a 30-gallon tank, a 30 high. I don't even think they make that size anymore. Not the high. Years ago, I took it down when we moved to Thomasville. 8 or 9 years ago. And it's been in the basement. I have a hood for it. Filter was shot, the gasket in it had broken out, but they gave me our parents gave me a really nice aquarium stand, and so I put it together and got the tank out from downstairs and filled it with water, left it 2 or 3 days on the porch. It does not leak. So I got it put up and had to go buy me a filter and some gravel and a heater. Using a submersible heater that I'd never really used, fully submersible, before. We got it up and going, and I'm still working on adjusting the heat on it. We had a small beta in a relatively small bull. I think I told you about that. His name is Julius Caesar. And we put Julius in the tank until I get everything squared away and we begin introducing slowly other fish, which you want to do that slowly. I haven't forgotten how to handle an aquarium. But Julius will come out because a beta or a male Siamese fighting fish is exceptionally territorial. They'll kill another beta, male, or any fish like a guppy or what else has got long flowing fins or brightly colored. They will defend them, their territory to the death. So I took Julius and put him in that tank, and all of a sudden he's gone from a quart to 30 gallons. And what happens is he now thinks that's his territory. If you really want to introduce a male beta to a community tank, you need to make sure that you only use proper types of fish, but you want them in the tank first and then put him in there. The way it is now, if I had fish with him in it, he thinks that whole 30 gallons is his spot and it'll make it worse. So we're going to take him out when we begin to get some fish, maybe over the weekend, and I'll let you know how that goes. But if you have an aquarium or have tinkered in aquarium matters, I'd love to hear some of your insights or stories about that. What kind of fish you've had. I had a kissing gourami that lived 7 years, 8 years. Finally died. She was only fishing the tank at that time. But I enjoy that. My dad did it years ago. Sammy's had a tank in the past, but not now. And I just enjoy it. Carol, my sister's had one as well. So I'm looking forward to getting back into that a little bit. And also received a copy of, is it Clive Cussler, Medusa? And I read through the prologue of that. And we'll be working on it. But it's a nautically themed book as well. I just finished Abraham Lincoln's Tried by War. Actually, it was about Abraham Lincoln. Great, great book. I highly recommend it. And really shows you what Lincoln dealt with as Commander-in-Chief. But I've had the week off. We went up to Hanging Rock State Park here several days ago. Two or three had never been. Beautiful man-made lake in the Sourtown Mountains, which are kind of like the Awaris that I spoke about several weeks back. I think the highest peak is 2,200 feet, so we're talking really significant hills here, but very, very beautiful. Sourtown, I think it's an old Indian name if I'm not mistaken. But we went there and sort of checked it out. They have cabins, things of that nature. And we're looking forward to maybe going back, and it's about 50 miles from here, but not a bad drive. And so they have cabins for rent, which are quite nice. They have swimming, they have a place to fish. You can rent a canoe or a small boat, like a small bass boat with paddles. Trails, a few small waterfalls you can hike to. Not too difficult to get to them. So we may go back, but we took a trip one day, and actually Cindy's parents went with us. But we were gone most of the day. It's up near Mount Airy and Pilot Mountain. If you've ever watched Andy Griffith and heard him refer to Mount Pilot, same thing, he just turned it around. If you go to the Podbean homepage, that's who hosts my podcast. You can see a picture of that at the top of the page, the banner. But the one on the Blogspot page, I removed it, and now I have the picture of me and Sammy and his son Austin after the marathon this past March. Which, I'll give you an update on the training later this episode. But we are looking to trying to get things together for the half marathon, which is really, wow, it's only about 8 weeks away. So there's a possibility I'm going to scratch that one and do Victory Junction in Randleman in November, but we'll let you know about that. But my training's going fine, it's just I haven't gotten in the time that I need. But it's good to have you along with me today. I'm feeling pretty good right now, to be honest. I'm still trying to practice the chi, and I can tell you it's getting easier. I'm not having to consciously think about it. There's a thing called body sensing, which Danny Dreyer speaks about. And if you can get a feel for that, you can sort of go through your checklist without having to always, you know, mentally say, okay, am I doing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever. Just sort of get a feel for it. And I'm getting close to that point. One of the things that really helps me is the C, where your pelvis is tilted, your neck is stretched, chin down a bit, and that levels your pelvis. And as you do that, that helps get your body properly aligned as well. So we're trying to practice that. At this point, we will throw on some music, and when I come back, we want to get into the summary topic of the day. So just hang tight. We'll be back in a flash. You're listening to episode 64 of the 20 Minute Runner podcast.
I found your letter today between the pages of an old book. All those things you used to say made me feel so good. Now your words all fade with memory of better days. You always got a pass. You always got a second look. Every man in the room wants your number in his book. Like a fool, I said I love you. How could I know I was living in better days? Oh, baby. Time when things made sense to me, but I feel those days they're all in history.
Welcome back. We're pulling back out on Hasty School Road. But I've told you about David Stratansky and the echifitness.com website. David's picture is also at the blog. Well, he has a great summary video, which is basically using diagrams, but it's very, very well done. It summarizes the overall concepts of chi running. It's called Chi Running Simplified. And I will have the video on the blog this week at the top for you to look at. But I just discovered
how to extract audio from YouTube clips. And so what I've done is I've gone and extracted the audio from it, and I'm going to just play it here as is. You will hear him talk about on the left and on the right, where he's referring to the diagram that will be on the screen when you listen to the and watch the actual video. What I'm doing is just playing the audio of it. But I have the video along the audio at the screen. But we'll play that as is, including on the left, on the right. But you'll know what he's talking about. He's referring to a video that, as you're listening right now, you're not going to be seeing. But you will be seeing it later as you go to the blog. And I encourage you to do that. So here's David's video, the audio from it, Qi Running Simplified, which is really, very good. And he also sent me a note about the importance of the core and how it relates to stabilizing the pelvis and relevelizing it. And I have a link for, again, for David's website in the video at the blog. So, all right, David, thank you for this information, and everybody just listen up, and I think it'll be beneficial to you.
Hello. This is David Stratansky here to share Qi Running with you. The founder and author of Qi Running is Danny Dreyer on the left, and I am one of his certified instructors. The Qi Running book subtitle refers to effortless and injury-free running. Is this how you would describe your running? If not, what if it is possible for your technique to move you clearly in that direction? So here is what I want for you: to be exposed to some very simple principles, as I was, so that you can make your own decision on what is possible for you. So let's get started. What is Qi Running? Qi Running is some very simple principles of anatomy, of physics, and of nature applied to your running position and your running motion. The result can be a dramatic increase in energy efficiency while reducing stress, impact, and injury. And of course, the all-important question for some: can you run fast with Qi Running? And yes, you can. But speed comes indirectly from technique and not by running harder. Many of these principles can be summarized in two key ideas. The first is, ask big, strong parts of your body to do relatively small jobs and not the other way around. And second, cooperate with the forces of nature. So let's look at how to apply these simple ideas. Your first job is managing the force of gravity acting down on you. If you align your posture, you use the strongest part of your body, your structure, your skeleton, and not your muscles to hold yourself up against this force. In alignment, your muscles can also relax, reducing resistance in your running motion. Your second job is to move forward. If you can cooperate with the force of gravity, it can propel you forward. A simple principle of physics says that if you take your posture line and lean it into gravity, there is an external force pulling you forward. This forward pull turns running into a controlled fall. What this means is that it's possible to run without using your legs for propulsion. The key is to maintain your posture line and lean efficiently from relaxed ankles. But as you move forward, there is a second very big force to cooperate with. This is the force of the approaching ground. When you are moving across the ground is actually coming at you. You have two choices. One is to let your feet land under you, where they can move with this force as it simply goes under you. The other choice is to let your feet land in front of your body, where they oppose this force. In this case, the force goes up through your body instead of simply going under you. To summarize, in this position, you are cooperating with gravity at the top and cooperating with the approaching ground at the bottom. But is this a natural way to run? There are many examples of this running form in nature. Perhaps the most illustrative are kids, including probably every one of you when you first learned to run. If you watch little kids run, they instinctively fall forward and they let their feet land under them. Other examples of this natural running form are many people whose survival has depended on their efficient and consistent mobility. The Egyptians make reference to the tilt of a runner's body. You can see this form in the Kalahari, who persistence hunt. You can also see it in many of the elite Kenyan marathoners. And You can see it in many Tarahumara Indians, now famous via the best-selling book Born to Run, which suggests running is just a controlled fall. And this natural form is also clearly evident in qi running. Here is a summary of the basic qi running elements. First is postural alignment with your shoulders over your hips, over your ankles with a neutral head position. A level pelvis, using the lower abdominal muscle, stabilizes both your pelvis and your postural line. At the base of this posture is a midfoot, or what could be called a full foot landing. With a relaxed full foot landing, you're using the structure of the lower leg and foot for momentary support. This minimizes both muscular effort and tension in the lower legs and feet, which is where many running injuries occur. Adding a lean to your posture line from your ankles engages the pull of gravity, and a very relaxed lower leg, foot, and ankle hinge limits any resistance to your forward fall. Only a small angle of lean is necessary, much less than you might think. To pick up your feet to keep up with your forward fall, a knee bend allows your heel to float up behind you. Note that the knee stays relatively low as it bends. With this motion, the heel will make a circle as you move forward. Note that the circle, or the wheel, is behind you and not under you. And the last item in this basic summary is an arm swing to the rear. This helps maintain your balance as you lean forward. These are the initial basic qi running elements. There is more to each one of these basic elements, and there are also a number of additional elements such as cadence, extending stride length to the rear, and hill technique adjustments, to name just a few. Now let's take a look at running from an upright position. In this position, gravity is only acting down on you, so for propulsion, you have to internally power yourself with muscle. This could be some combination of pushing with the feet, reaching forward, and letting your foot land and pulling with your hamstring, called pawback. At the same time, your foot strike is generally in front of the body, and this is often combined with a straight knee and or a heel strike. Physics states that if your foot lands in front of your body's center of mass, it acts like a brake. In this position, you are braking against that very big force of the approaching ground, and that impact is traveling up through the body with a high potential for injury. In summary, there's a potential for high effort and significant impact. You might consider this driving with your foot on the gas and the brake at the same time. It is some combination of push, reach, brake, pull with each step. Here is a side-to-side comparison. There are clearly differences in position, effort, and potential stress or impact on the body. So let's put this into perspective with an analogy. If you were a very heavy object moving yourself across the ground, would you rather be in the shape of a square block or a round ball? I think you would all want to be the round ball, but why? Well, simple, it rolls. The round ball has very little friction. It's smooth. But with the sliding block, there's a lot of friction, and there is also a blunt front edge. So the block has high resistance and low momentum. Essentially, when you stop pushing or pulling the block, then the block stops moving. On the other hand, the ball has high momentum and very low resistance. It takes very little effort to keep the ball rolling. So let's take a closer look at this round ball. What part of the ball moves forward when the ball rolls forward? The top of the ball rolls forward, right? And what part moves backward when the ball rolls forward? The bottom moves backward relative to the ball's center, right? So what is this round ball starting to look like? Let me color it in for you. And let me add the qi running position. And now let me add the upright running position. If you run like the block, you have less momentum and a lot of potential resistance. If you run like the ball, you have a lot of momentum and very little resistance. So here's the question. How do you run? What does it feel like? And what if you could apply just one idea and move a little to the right? Or apply more ideas and move even farther to the right? What would that mean to you and to your running? So here's the difference. On the left, you have a lot of muscular effort plus a lot of potential negative stress and impact that can cause injury. On the right, you have much less muscular effort with limited negative stress on the body. But how do you change your position and motion? Simply, it takes practice. Practice sensing and adjusting your position, your effort, tension levels, and balance. A key skill here is body sensing, and a key concept is gradual progress. Just pick one or two focus points at a time and practice them. With consistent practice, you can create new habits. So here is a summary. First, a few simple principles. Principles that apply to anyone at any level, from a beginner to an experienced or competitive runner. A natural running form, the way you instinctively ran as a kid. High momentum and low resistance as you cooperate with the forces of nature. Very energy efficient while reducing the negative effects of stress and impact. And of course, speed, but indirectly. This video provides a very brief Qi running introduction. There are many online resources, such as articles, blogs, and a bulletin board, plus published resources like the Qi Running book, as well as video, audio, and event training programs, plus local events and programs provided through a team of certified instructors. See my website at eqifitness.com for more information and options to receive resource updates. Thank you for this opportunity to share Qi Running with you.
I want to thank David for the presentation again. eqifitness.com. The links are at the website. I would encourage you to watch the video as you listen to the audio again. That'll reinforce what we're trying to share. And David, thank you. I had also emailed a good buddy of mine in the podcasting community, Jeff Smith from the Running Podcast, which is produced in Brisbane, Australia. And I forget how I found Jeff's show, but I've been listening now since the first one, and I think he's up to 21 for the Running Podcast. He also does a show on triathlon, and he does a motivational podcast. But I listen to the Running Podcast religiously. Jeff, incidentally, if you're listening, I really enjoyed your coverage of the marathon. I think it was episode 15. And even though you struggled a bit, way to go. I know you've run many, many. But I had emailed Jeff and Coach Jeff and asked him for some thoughts on Qi running. And rather than simply addressing it on his show, which he may or may not do, or just sending me back an email, he was kind enough to send me an MP3 audio file. And Jeff, I think, helps us gain perspective on Qi running. Now, before I play this, let me say that I'm not the type of person to jump on every fad. Matter of fact, I actually tend to be, I don't know if conservative is the right word, or maybe a little cynical. When fads of any kind come out, whether they're just popular fads of fashion or the newest way to lose weight, or I tend to be very cynical. But as I've already stated, based on what we just heard, I personally think Qi running is the way to go, and I'm going to continue to practice it, although I promise not to bore you with it every episode. But Coach Jeff has some positive things to say about it, but he also helps us gain some perspective as we look at other issues in life. So this is Coach Jeff Smith from the Running Podcast. The link will be at the show notes, and you can find his show at powerfit.net.au. Coach Jeff, thanks for this response.
Well, hey there, Roland. It's your good friend Coach Jeff from all the way down in Brisbane, Australia, and so great to be talking with you once again on the 20 Minute Runner. And you asked if I could share some thoughts with you and your listeners on Qi running. And I guess first up, what I'll say is that I come from a background of 30-odd years of coaching athletes, in a variety of sports. I carry degrees in human movement and physical education. I was so blessed to be involved with bringing some Olympic runners through to run at the Olympic Marathon in Sydney, Australia, back in 2000. And I only say that just to share with you and your listeners, not how great is Coach Jeff, not by any stretch of the imagination, but just so that, you know, people can understand that when I say some things, you know, that it comes from that background. I might also add, in terms of talking about chi running, I am absolutely blessed, to have a really good natural running style. I have very, very little in the way of injuries in hips or legs, knees, ankles. I'm also a very natural midfoot runner. You know, people see me running these days and they often say, oh, you're practicing 4-foot running. And I go, well, no, it's just how I've always run. And so having said all that, in terms of chi running, you know, I think, like anything in this world, I think if it is good for somebody and if it is working for somebody, then I'm 100% behind it. Now, in terms of, chi running, I think for pure runners, and that's people that are just running only, not doing anything else other than running, I think it's a great project for the off-season. And so if you want to adopt chi running to help overcome some injuries that you perceive that you have, I think get through your normal running season and then dedicate, I would suggest maybe 3 months, even maybe a touch more during your off season to work on, your chi running and establishing that habit and that style and that routine prior to beginning your next training season. Now, for multi-sport athletes, so the guys that I deal mostly with these days, the triathletes of the world or the duathletes, or multi-sport athletes, you know, they've already got way too much going on in terms of training for swimming, riding, running, kayaking. They've already got way too much going on to focus on one particular aspect and then try to change that. Now, that may be the case that, somebody may be having such massive injuries with their run leg that we might need to pluck them back out of a whole program and introduce something like chi running to them to overcome those problems. But, you know, particularly I think chi running is really good for pure runners and maybe working into an off-season project. But for multi-sport athletes, I think there's already way too much going on to put that in there. Now, also, chi running addresses key issues such as things like overstriding, heel strike, and those sorts of things. Well, how we address that in the multi-sport world is I have a lot of our athletes doing running drills along with their swimming and riding drills, but we have a lot of running drills incorporated into their running program to help them work on things like preventing overstriding and heel strike. And we do that by making sure that, all our runners are running with very high cadence and keeping their feet back underneath them and trying to bring them forward onto the 4 foot. But I think having said that, for the majority of people out there, the mums and dads of the world that, are trying to hold down a job, keep the family going, pay the bills, they have very little time to do their exercise anyway. And I think it's more important that we get these people off the couch, as Steve Runner would say, off the couch of doom, and get these people out running. And I think that's our number one priority. And then get them out running naturally and just let them run with their own natural form and then introduce some drills that can address maybe some of those issues. And then maybe once we get them out and get them used to it, we can then introduce them to things like chi running, which I think for the majority of the population would just be too much, mental gymnastics to get through when considering we can't get them out there running already. One of the other things that I find with not only chi running, but other forms of running that are, introduced into the marketplace, one of the problems that I have coming from a human movement background is that a lot of the biomechanical points that they talk about in a general way, or they tend to generalize over biomechanical points, a lot of the time they're not 100% correct in fact. And, some of these forms don't stand the scrutiny of, pure mechanical or biomechanical, structure. And so I think that sometimes can put people a little bit on the wrong side of the track with it. My experience, over the last 30-odd years has been that most problems are caused by people taking up running or some sort of sport and having an incorrect warm-up, an incorrect cool-down, maybe a very ill-considered training program, not the right type of training. When I look back, I would consider that probably 80% of amateur runners are running more pro-rata, I would consider, than pro-runners. We've got a lot of pro guys that we look after. And, they often say to me they are amazed at just how much extra running and riding, swimming, hop, skip and jumping that age group athletes do. So I think that's a problem there, that I think a lot of problems, yes, chi running can help fix those, but I think a lot of problems are caused, purely by just, incorrect warm-up, cool-down, not enough stretching, no strength work. I think a lot of problems could be fixed by strength work as opposed to worrying about trying to change people's form. And I guess the perspective that I have, that the human body's been around a long, long time, and And when it was put together, it was built to take whatever we could throw at it. And I think the only reason that we're seeing problems, in the year 2010 is that we've let that body become soft. We've not treated the body as it was ever meant to be treated. And so, problems crop up, more often. So what does that all mean? Well, from Coach Jeff's perspective, Roland, I think chi running is a fantastic thing. As I said earlier on, I always had the principle, if it works for somebody and they're getting benefit from it and they truly believe that it's helping them and working for them, man, I say go for it. Absolutely go for it. There's a lot of things about chi running and other forms of running that I think have massive things going for them. But I think the underlying principle, if it's working for somebody, if it's helping somebody to run pain-free and run faster, improve their times and keep them off the couch of doom, man, I think that is an absolutely fantastic thing. Does it fit in with what we do here at Coach Jeff? Not necessarily. As I say, a lot of what we deal with is multi-sport athletes, and we've already got so much going on with them trying to hold down a job and a family and travel and things like that to get them to do something extra. Not likely to happen, but I think, I've been watching you closely, Roland, and I can see that it's working for you, and I think that is fantastic, and I really do encourage you to keep up with the chi running. And to any of your listeners that are, contemplating taking up chi running, fantastic. I think get out there, give it a go, and as anything in this life, take it on with an open mind and, and embrace it and see if it works for you. Anyway, as always, Roland, just some thoughts from the sometimes monkey brain of Coach Jeff. Man, I love what you're doing with the 20-Minute Runner podcast. It is fantastic. It's a great show. I really do encourage people to listen in and follow you and watch what you're doing. And I think it's a great thing that you are doing. And keep up the good work. And we'll talk again real soon. So it's Coach Jeff signing up from the running podcast. And we'll see you again real soon. Bye for now.
He's a lot like our dog. We got a miniature schnauzer. That terrier is a tough dog. I hope you didn't just hear me belch. I'm sorry I didn't see you coming. Okay, we are running down the big hill. We are running for 1 hour and 12 and a half minutes. And I think I'm going to try the progressive hill run that Coach Jeff spoke about, because I'm feeling pretty good. Chi is working well as far as feet balanced, the lean, the abdominal tuck, leveling the pelvis. So what we're going to do is we're going to really lean and run partway up this hill. Again, with chi, you want to pump your arms hard at this point. Run up to the end of this stop. Let's see. And jog back down. And each time we go up, we'll go progressively slower. We're going to divide it into 4 segments. That was the first. So I'll bring you back in on the last segment and we'll close out the show. As I'm getting ready to run the second segment though, thanks to Coach Smith for his expertise. Probably my favorite podcast I listen to. Thanks, Jeff. Best to you. We'll be back in a minute. Hang on. 50 seconds. See how long it takes us to crest this hill. Still got my neck lengthened, tuck and all that. Just listen as we charge it. Third of the way. Maybe half. Resting. Still. And let's say we're over the top. About 1 minute. Probably 30 degree grade. Maybe.
update for the week. Hey, Darcy. I began my speed work early in the week. 2 5-minute segments. Whew. Give me a minute. With 5-minute rest. And ran 8.3 or 4. We averaged 9:18 for the run. This coming week I'll run a mile twice. Actually a little more, 2 10-minute segments. 5-minute rest. Build up. And I think I'm gonna also add the heel workout I just did. Do another one of those. Maybe 2 weeks from now. Try to do 2. Build up to maybe 3 of those before the taper for the half. Got about 8 weeks. 9 weeks maybe. So this will give me 8 point something. We'll call it 8.3. Hold on. Alright. 8.3 miles today. 8.4 is 16. We run about 17.1, and I will run, Lord willing, 9 or 10 on Sunday. I think it was 25 plus for the week. Building up to 14 or 15 mile long run. About 40 minutes of tempo. And I'd love to be doing 3 sets of hill work before the taper for the half. And again, I'm hoping to break 1 hour and 40 minutes. Don't know that I will, but I think we can have a strong race. But I appreciate you being along with me today, taking a few minutes, whether you're running or driving your car or sitting at your computer, maybe at the mall, listening on your iPod, wherever. I want to say thank you. Did get a couple notes this week I want to share with you, a couple I want to share. First one is from Bill, aka Big Bill Runner at iTunes, and Bill was very complimentary. I've corresponded a bit with Bill in the past and appreciate his comments, and he alluded to that at the iTunes and the iTunes review. And also, Bill said, I'm the type of person, if you sit down on the plane or the bus next to me, by the end of the ride you've gained a friend. And Bill, I tell you, I feel like that's true, and I appreciate you saying that, even though I feel very self-conscious when I get comments, but I do want to share them because you put them there to be seen and people can go to iTunes. But thanks, Bill. Appreciate the correspondence we've had, and keep up the good work. And then I had an email from Jeff, his blog, I think it's Run to Live. I've got Jeff's blog at the website and his pictures there as well. But, oh, by the way, Bill, if I don't have your picture, would you send me one? Maybe you sent it. I'm not sure, but send me one if you didn't. But Jeff said that thanks for the play recently on his blog, and I'm glad to do that, Jeff. And he's beginning to watch videos at the blog, incorporating some of it. And he's going to be running the 10-miler at the Crim Festival of Races in Flint, Michigan. It's either this weekend as I'm recording this or next, but he hopes to break 107.28 in the 10-miler, which he's run before. And he will be sending us a race report. And Jeff, we will look for that. And Jeff's blog is listed under the links of interest in a, maybe last episode or an episode before. So Jeff, I appreciate that email. You can email me by going to the blog, hitting the email me button, or just going to 20minuterunner@gmail.com. Send me an email if you would. Questions, comments, send me a picture of you if you listen, whether it's a race picture or not. I want to put it at the blog with the other listeners. We've got 10 or so there now. I'd love to have 100. I know we got enough listeners to have more than that, so if you would do that, I'd appreciate it. Send me an email, send me a picture where you live and where you run. Send me a race report, email that to me, and I'll share it on an upcoming episode and post it at the sister blog and link a photo if you send it. The photo will be at the main blog. And go to iTunes if you would. Give me a review. I would certainly appreciate that. I've gotten up, I think I got 5 reviews now. People just don't think about doing that. Just go to iTunes and go to the listing for the show. Go to the music store and find the podcast page. And then if you would, just give me a quick word and some stars. I would really appreciate that because that does help drive the podcast. And finally, there's a lot more I could say, but go to the blog. There's a survey there for a few more days. We'll give you an update on that. What's the longest race you're gearing for this year? There's also information about some of the links we've mentioned, information about past shows. You can see any of those or listen to any of those, along with information relative to each one. Just a lot going on there. Photos of me from races, photos of all of our listeners that have sent in photos. I want yours as well. But just go to the blog, check it out. It really adds. Plus the videos, including today's show, the video from David are there in the last five episodes. So I would encourage you to check out those videos. They really add to what I've tried to share in my limited, very limited way. And next week, I'm not sure what we're going to talk about, but we'll be sure and look forward to having you then. We're through with Chi Running specifically, but I would encourage you to go to YouTube and look up all the videos relative to Chi Running, Danny Dreyer's book on Chi Running. There's links at the blog, different places. You can check that out on Amazon, whatever. Order the book. There's also information on the DVD, other things that go with that. That'd be worth your time. But I'm telling you, for me, I understand what Coach Smith was saying, and he really didn't say anything negative, but for me, Chi Running, it has made all the difference in the world. My hips have not bothered me for 2 months now, and my left knee, I could feel it just a little this morning, but it's really becoming a non-issue. No problems at all, and I'm beginning to really get the feel for it. So try it, but you don't have to be a Chi Runner to appreciate this podcast in the weeks ahead. All right, how did we do? We ran 1 hour, 19 minutes, 14 seconds. We ran 8.307 miles. Our speed, average speed, 6.2. Maximum speed, 8.4. Average pace, 9.32. Best pace, 7.42. So that's good. We can live with that. Today was not really a speed work session, but I'm definitely going to try to heels and continue to speed work in the long run. Hope for 25 or 26 miles total this week. Okay, I've walked around a minute. I'm going back to the house to get Odie, my miniature schnauzer, and walk him a minute and get me a Propel. And we'll look forward to seeing you in 7 to 10 days. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Have a great week, everybody. Let me hear from you. I love getting information. Pictures, MP3s, WAV files, emails, whatever, from you, the listener. So be sure and contact me. I'm also at Twitter and at Facebook, The 20 Minute Runner. So we'll talk to you later, folks. Have a great week. See you now. Bye-bye.